Ted, last week's show was a triumph.
An absolute milestone in the long and hard
shout out
and
Stefan.
Soft
shout out
and
Bronson.
Essie road of Tep Talk.
Yeah, the reviews are in. Critics are calling it outstanding.
Outstandingly deranged.
Yeah.
That came in from Maveen.
Yeah, this one, I think if it were published in Time Out magazine, would say very ... good. Quote Dennis. Now, the full quote there would be very difficult to listen to. I don't think you're having a good time distinguishing what's true and what's not.
I think Dennis is just salty because we didn't mention Dennis.
Yeah.
That's Dennis's fault because he's easy to forget.
And also, I think, Ted, if I'm honest.
Go on, be honest.
I think that Dennis wants to join the billionaires.
I know.
He's explicitly told me he doesn't, but I think he does. He's been checking in with me so much more often, and I'm like, what is this about, Dennis? And he's like, I keep telling you, I'm really worried about you and what's going on with the Santas and you and Ted. Ted seems very fragile. It seems like you're maybe creating a bit of a Waco situation over there at the cabin.
Yeah.
And I say, well, it's pronounced wacky.
Oh, I'm worried about the FBI coming in and K-ing you.
And I'm like, Dennis!
Dennis, I actually think this is about you wanted to bring your little turntable and your vinyl and wiki wiki scratch on top of the billionaires.
Yeah, and here's the problem, Dennis. A couple problems. First of all, we're a classic rock band. We do not need a turntable player.
Yes, we're not Incubase.
And here's another problem, Dennis. Who would you be in the billionaires? What billionaire would you be? Squid Zuck? I don't think so. You're very dry.
Yeah, Google guy. Maybe we put a hood on you because no one knows what he looks like.
Actually, Ted, that's not a bad idea because you know how sometimes when bands are like really good but not so good at playing instruments, they'll have like a old white-haired man with a beer belly standing off stage playing all the hard guitar parts?
Yeah.
What if Dennis, like, if he's the Google guy and no one knew what he looked like, he could kind of just be behind a screen.
He could play our parts. Most of the show really is in the showmanship, the front of house, just how involved you are with the audience.
Oh, it's all about that.
Which I think you and I really need to bring to the table because let's face it, Marvin and Darby have the opposite of charisma.
Ted, you're absolutely right, and I'm so glad that you brought this up because when you're putting together a show, there's so many little bits and pieces.
Little bits you have to think about.
Things you have to think about. Like you've been spending so much time in your Jeff Bezos outfit practicing your twerking. It looks so good.
Does it? Thanks.
You really get your whole back into it.
Borrow me a hand in the shape of a circle. One does not simply twerk.
Go ahead. I can do a little twerk corner.
Okay, can you play the twerk corner sound effect? Thank you. Twerk Corner with Tep Ted. What they don't tell you about twerking is this. It is quite hard to make your buttock move independently from your legs. I'm having a lot of trouble because my legs and my buttocks sort of stay locked in sort of a perpetual relationship.
Yeah.
So when I twerk, it's mainly my legs bouncing up and down or me sort of running on the spot. And I just hope that the A follows. And, okay, tip number one, bounce your legs up and down. Tip number two, put your back into it. Tip number three, bonus tip for everyone out there trying to twerk, put your hands up like you're a little T-Rex.
Yeah, and kind of, you do a little bit of a side-to-side sashay, sort of.
Yeah, a lot like the trained monkey in George of the Jungle does a dance.
Yeah, now I think what's really key about your twerking, Ted, is that meanwhile, your legs are spread wide akimbo and you sort of go from side to side like Donkey Kong in the original Mario. It's a bit of a crab walk.
It is a crab walk, yes. One must travel around the compound to practice.
And I think that these individual pieces don't sound like they would be twerking, but when you put them all together, it's a little bit like the chord at the beginning of A Hard Day's Night.
It's the gestalt, my friends.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Well, I know you've been jealous because I've seen you watch me twerk.
Jealous.
Listen, we can acknowledge
jealous
it.
Jealous in the traditional sense, in that I'm quite protective.
Listen, I saw you practicing twerking. And
oh no, I wasn't, Ted. No, that wasn't. No,
no. You don't.
I dropped a penny, and I was going up and down trying to grab it.
You dropped that penny so many times.
Hands were sweaty.
That was what gave it away.
I was just
At first, I thought you were trying to do the like pop and snap from Legally B. And then I realized that you were copying me.
I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you.
That is cool. I just want to acknowledge it because I'm fun now.
No, you are. Yeah.
If you want to be fun too, I am all for it. I am all for it. But I think you can only be one thing at a time, so you'd have to drop your other thing.
No, I'm committed to getting Grace back if it costs me my life.
Okay.
Ted, look, here, Ted, I'd love to be fun, honestly. It sounds amazing. You make it look so fun. Like when you're twerking and crying with your ball cap on, it looks so fun.
Sideways through the compound. Yeah.
Well, the thing they don't tell you is that once you start, it's really hard to stop.
It is hard to stop. It's centrifugal motion. It's my A up and down. It's crying over my daddy. I've got a permanent frown. I am quite fun.
Yeah, and something to actually, Ted, one last thing for the father's twerking corner that I think is really important is don't start with a heavy hip-hop beat. It's much better to start learning on something like specifically Faith Hill.
Yeah, and then I suggest moving to Sheryl Crow. And then I suggest moving to Liz Phair. And it's going to end in Evanescence.
I'm glad you're working up to that, because if right now you tried to twerk to Wake Me Up Inside, I think you'd actually break your own back.
And my neck and my crack.
Yeah, shout out. No, Ted, as fun as that sounds, I have to choose my own pee, my own path. And the fact is, if it means giving up being fun in order to get Grace back, that is my number one commitment. And shout out, Grace. Speaking of the reviews of last week's show, here's the quote from Grace on the front of Entertainment Magazine. Tim is definitely, ... getting me back.
What's in the ellipsis?
Never.
Cool, cool, cool.
Thanks for listening, Grace. Should we start the show?
Let's start the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to Tep Talk, your number one source for tech news information. I am one of your hosts, Tep Tim, visionary, host of the Tep Talk podcast, best friend, former Santa, now elf, working my way back up eventually, and Tep genius level... 1.9.
Oh my gosh.
That's right, folks. It's been 4 years now of doing this show, and you might say, some things never change. You just go around and around in circles. It's almost like you are doomed to repeat the same patterns over and over again. It's almost like you sabotage yourselves in order to make sure that you never progress and nothing ever happens in your life. Well, shame on you, Darby. You're not a therapist yet, so don't bring that BS to me. I have changed. I have officially upgraded from Tep Genius Level 2 to Tep Genius Level 1.93.
Wow. How did you upgrade?
Well, a gentleman doesn't like to tell his secrets, but let's just say that somebody officially linked his Apple calendar and his Google calendar.
Wait, you got them to sync up?
Yeah.
So they both sync at the same time?
Well, no, they sync at different times. They're never in sync, but they're connected, though.
Do you get a notification from the two of them at the same time?
Yeah.
It just repeats everything.
Exactly. I'm living that double pop-up lifestyle. It's twice as many notifications, and it feels twice as good to be constantly getting little pop-ups. Problem is that Corey does definitely have access to my Google calendar. I think maybe it was when he said he needed to get into my email to see if I had won a prize. And I think he might have chosen to leave some events in my calendar. So I've been getting a lot of holiday notifications for, you know, day.
Giant loser festival.
Disappointing dad day.
Congratulations, you've won 2 tickets to Wedgie Town.
Oh, don't forget today at 7 p.m. is the practice.
Yep.
And, you know, I went and there was nothing there. But yeah, I upgraded. Sorry, Ted, I don't want to leave you in the dust, but somebody just moved up closer to midnight on the D-Day clock.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And Tep Tim. My name's Tep Tim, by the way. Tep Tim.
What a wonderful intro. I must note, however, Tim, you missed one thing in your intro that I, Tep Ted, shall fix.
Oh, husband, your husband, technically. Like, as a friend.
Well, that.
Co-frontman of the Billionaires also, yes.
That wasn't it.
Oh, mayor! I'm mayor! I forgot. Yes, I'm mayor.
No, you missed a crucial thing. You said your source for Tep news information.
Oh!
And I get to say it this week. I, Tep Ted, Necromancer Level 9, get to say gossip! 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 Woo! Yeah! Tep Ted got to say the word gossip. Yes, daddy.
Ted.
Ribbity, bibbity, 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 bop, bop, bop.
I want to say I'm ashamed. I am learning. I'm growing.
Do better.
I'm really grateful for the opportunity to learn and grow in front of you all. Demoted. I'm just saying I'm demoted. Tep Genius Level 2. I should have never put you in that position. I should have never forced you to do that. But can I just say, very good. Very good.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. And Ted,
thank you.
Here's the thing. I can feel it because I happen to know that you have some gossip on your mind this week. And so, hey, folks, you can always hear it. Like, shout out acting. Shout out last week. You can always tell when an actor has something that they're bringing personally to the role.
Yes.
You know, like Timothy really has been to the desert. And Ted, when you said gossip, I said to myself, that's the sound of a man who's got some real deal gossip burning a hole in his A.
I'm just over the moon this week because my gossip is so salacious, so juicy. It's the biggest hot drop of wet goss you're going to get all week.
You're never getting that out of the carpet.
Oh, no, sirree. This is that little bit of ranch mixed in with Tapatio hot sauce that dripped out of your chicken strip roll that you made from frozen chicken strips. It hit the carpet. And your wife said, that's never getting out. Why did you do that? Use a plate. For the love of G.
This is that kind of hot goss where you're like, I know I shouldn't do it, but you gotta do it.
Yeah, you gotta do it. This is Nashville hot chicken goss. I'm gonna feel it all over my lips after I tell you this.
Yeah,
goss.
Go on, Ted. Go on. I'm begging for it, Ted. I'm begging for it.
Okay. All our listeners are in front of me on their knees with their mouths open, and I've got my pot of chili.
In a giant baby bottle.
Yes, I've got this pot of chili. I've pushed it into a baby bottle, and I've cut the tip of the baby bottle so the chunks of the chili can come out of it. The baby bottle is the size of like a...
like an oxygen tank.
Yeah, it's like the size of an oxygen tank. So I'm going to really squeeze it into your open mouth.
You're wearing giant overalls.
I'm wearing giant overalls.
They're on their knees like little calves begging for the giant baby bottle to feed them that delicious goss. And if you don't give it to them soon, they're going to start sucking on your pant leg.
Bay, bay, bay. Everyone's on their knees.
Now, Ted, I want to give you a tiny bit of a warning here. You've got them right where you want them. But if you drag this out too long, you're going to lose them. So I would say just like you're doing a great job, but just you want to move it along, I think.
This is just, I don't get a lot of chance to say the gossip. You always say gossip at the start of the show.
Ted,
you're doing a
great job. Ted, you're doing a good job. I'm just saying, like, you got them where you want them. Don't wear out your welcome. I've made this mistake. You've saw me in the parking lot with Marvin way back when I was doing this, and he
walked away.
He finally just said, whatever you're going to say is not worth this disturbing imagery. I'm just saying, cautionary principle. So go on.
Ding dong, dinner bell. It's feeding time, you dad cows. Get ready for the hot goss, because Farmer Ted is about to goop it down your gullet.
Okay, yep. Here it comes.
The M3 MacBook Air is the lowest price it's ever been on Amazon. Woo!
Wow, Ted.
Suck it up.
Yeah.
Suck it up.
I gotta be perfectly honest, that I didn't think that's what you were gonna say. I thought you were gonna talk about the fact that Marvin cried during a role playing.
That was pretty good. That was probably would have been better gossip.
No, that's great. No, Ted, that's fantastic gossip. And that's actually a great segue into today's show, the tip of today's show, because we're gonna be talking all about that all-time low price on Amazon today. And Ted, I wanna just say, it moves me. It moves me beyond words that 150 episodes into this podcast, it will be easy for some people, some podcast hosts, to rest on their L's, laurels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to sort of say, we've been doing This American Life so long, let's just make up a story this week.
It doesn't matter. No one could tell.
Yeah, or like, hey, this doesn't really have anything to do with the media. The name of the show is On the Media. And you could say, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Or like Further World, where it's like, wow, we had 20 or so really good ghost stories.
And now I just met some guy in a pub and asked him, and he said something scary happened to him, and I made 2 hours on it.
And then I asked his friend whether it happened, and his friend didn't have anything to say, but I put him in the podcast too.
Without editing them. Oh, you're a big podcaster. You're like, know thy enemy. After a while, you've known all the enemies.
You just talk about Bob Dylan. The point is, every other podcast is lazy.
And bad.
And should be illegal. Or shout out Memoirs of a Geeka.
Yeah.
When was the last time Memoirs of a Geeka ever had any information on, like, I don't know.
Dongles.
Instead, it's like, you know, when I started this job, I thought that it would just be temporary. But 15 years later, I'm still here. And everything is the same. Even though my life has changed and the world has changed, this place is the same. It's the same colors, the same air, the same carpet, the same smell. It can make you feel insane. In a way, the Best Buy is like living death. It's a source of grief for me because when I'm there, the people I've lost are still alive. I'm still that person 15 years ago, thinking this will be a temporary job, thinking I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to learn something. I feel that grief so deeply because of the fact that it is static, fundamentally static.
I never move on and I never leave because how can I?
And I was like, okay, Randy, so is there a sale on Roombas or not?
Yeah, so unlike these useless podcasts that just rest on their laurels. We talk about TEP day in, day out. This is TEP Talk with Tim and Ted for Steve's sake.
And you know, here's the thing. Could we make more money if we started getting all wishy-washy?
Oh, we could sell out. You better believe we could.
But no, because at the end of the day, it's like, who will W the W, man?
Yeah.
Also, I say this to Dennis all the time. It's like, I wish I could stop. I pray that I could stop.
I wish, I crave that this would end. This nightmare.
You don't think a doctor gets tired of pulling guts out of people? You don't think a teacher gets sick of having to teach kids over and over again what 4 + 4 equals?
You don't think a fireman gets tired of turning on their siren every time they want to go in and out of the building and making everyone stop on the whole road every time they want to do the slowest 3-point turn they've ever done on a major road? No. They do it every day.
You know what I want? I want to wake up one day and I go online to do my customary reporting for the podcast and suddenly I see the headline, Apple defeats Microsoft once and for all. Only computer allowed on Earth.
Yeah.
Or like, in stunning move, America's sons turn themselves into police. When that day happens, when there's nothing left to report, then...
I'll take a sigh of relief. I'll jump into the hammock with a pino colada.
You know what I would do? I would do that one job for Uncle Rodney that he said he would pay very handsomely for, and I said I would never do, never even consider it. I would do it, I'd take the money, and I would just retire to a private island with Elon, probably.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But until that day, I will be here on the front line delivering that tech information news and, crucially, gossip. And that's my 151th episode promise to you. We're going all the way, baby. We're going to 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, all the way to 1,000.
We've only just begun. Shout out the C's. And it's, folks, we might make it sound easy.
It's
exhausting.
Easy.
It is, I mean.
It's exhausting.
Sometimes you just want a GD minute so bad.
Oh, the ultimate GD minute will get us in the end, my friend. We are all headed for the ultimate GD minute.
Can't wait to see that big brass bed. Yeah.
But until that day, we have to keep going. And I want to let you in on a little TEP Talk secret. You think, oh, how can you guys do this for 151th episodes?
It's cost you so much.
It has cost you so much money and interpersonal stability, mental health.
Yeah, and it's also just hard to watch the enemies of technology win over and over again, and we just keep coming back for more. It's like, I feel like a punching bee sometimes.
Indeed, but you don't have a C. You got to show up every day. So I feel like at this point, we should just hit the little timeout button, give everyone a daily dose of inspiration.
I think the listeners might enjoy hearing like how we keep ourselves going.
I'm going
to
let you in on the little podcast secret. Okay. I'm going to show you how the sausage is made.
This is a little behind the curtain sequence here.
I'm lifting up my curtains and I'm showing you what I'm wearing underneath.
Yeah. Ted is lifting up his father's caftan.
From medievalcollectibles.com.
And we see the secret underneath. Now, don't get your minds out of the gutter. He's wearing underwear.
Papishtani. The point is, that's a metaphor to describe to you the next segment, which I want to give you. It's called Inspiration Corner.
Yeah, Ted introduced me to the concept of inspirational sayings a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, change your life, right?
It makes it possible to keep going.
Mm-hmm. So, listener, if you're listening to this at the start of your day, you're in luck because I'm about to super fuel your day with the power you need to get amongst it.
So the way this usually goes is Ted, first of all, starts with a reading, and this sort of situates us. It just gets us into a zone of receptivity because, you know, you go to bed with the weight of the world on your shoulders. You have dreams that you just really shouldn't think too hard about. So before you can take in your daily inspiration, you need to ground yourself in a place of peace and persuasion.
Indeed, one must wake gently into this harsh world.
I'm going to play some inspirational music. The vibrations of this music are going to be tuned to the correct frequency that's going to make you more receptive.
Yep.
And just go ahead and take this in and absorb it. And just know that, like, this is what Ted and I are binging every day to keep ourselves going.
Okay, here we go. Morning sunshine covers the ground. There you are, a seed is found. Deep underneath, you spring to life, one shoot for heavens. But watch out, strife, the farmer rakes at the muck, and you, bursting forth, see a sky brand new. Oh, this is my sky, this is my time, you say, my dad, as you rise and rise. Into the sky, you grow so tall. But watch out, what's that coming over the hill? Brum brum goes the whippersnapper. Brum brum comes the weeds. Whip crack, and you're cut down. Oh, but do not forget the seeds, for they grow each day and they come back up. You are a dandelion. You're a dad, just like a weed they pull, and shining bright, you will be so tall.
Thank you.
Okay, so now that I've gotten you risen out of the ground, this is where I switch the energy.
Now it's time for some inspirational A's, aphorisms, and A's, aspirations. Just some statements that help us sort of focus our energy and give us a little bit of a sunny, good feeling inside. We've got our big stack here of inspirational quotes. We usually read these to each other every morning. Here's one. Success, the feeling of possibility that manifests itself through realization.
Oh my gosh. Doing the work, being the work, creating the work is secondary to starting the work.
I love that. Here's one. Every positive outcome begins with a positive beginning.
Oh, that's good.
Although in that case, not Lord of the Rings, because the Nazgul.
Yeah.
Not Star Wars either, because of there was the blockade by the Trade Federation.
And not Die Hard too, because that starts with divorce.
Yeah, true. Matrix starts nice. Then he goes to the club.
That's nice. You know,
so that's, I think, the point is there are some exceptions that prove the rule, but generally speaking, every positive outcome begins with a positive beginning.
Here's one for you. We are not the way we walk, talk, and show up in this world. No, we are the pilot behind. We are the inspiration to dance on the day.
My gosh, I love that. I got one here too. This one is written in cursive and there's quotes around it, but it's not clear what the quote is from. Mm. And it sort of starts mid-sentence and it says, "And in the end, he realized he had been dancing all the while."
Oh my gosh. I have a beautiful one here. It's a bit more Eastern. Don't listen to anyone.
Don't wait for life to take your hand. Begin! Exclamation point. More than anything, begin. And you will find that in finding your way, you are you.
Oh, God, that's so good.
So, Ted, are you feeling calm?
I'm feeling so calm. I'm feeling so warm and fuzzy, and I'm ready to get about my day.
It's time to kick your A into gear!
That's right, you stupid little cretins. This world came to be your A with a pole every day until your A has calluses.
That's right, folks. Now that we've finished the restful mindfulness corner, it's time to turn into the rise and grind corner.
Indeed.
Because, hey, it's important to ground yourself. Know that you are enough. Know that you've done enough. Know that you have done nothing wrong. Know that the world is there for you. Once you've got your head around that, you got to remember that the world is yours to dominate.
Yeah, exactly. And so therefore, we switch to our next round of quotes.
Now you might say, can I just skip to these?
No.
If you go straight to the grind quotes, you will lose your mind.
Yeah.
Because the level of intensity and the level of grind is such that without a balanced inner self, it would consume you, not unlike Anakin in S-Wars.
So here's one for you. Ding dong, it's Monday, bitch. Get to work.
I got another one. This one, the text is, I'm sorry, did I not get permission to be a bad A?
I got one here. It's a green frog doing chin-ups, and it says, morning, beta. It's time to make your day poggers, or you'll never have an alpha jawline like me. Start chewing down on Mondays, you little bee.
Yeah, I've got one here. This one is Bill Murphy, and he's kind of got a bit of an arch look, and the quote says, who says TGIF only has to be Fridays?
Gah, that's some brain food. Here's one. It's showing a pack of wolves like aggressively running towards the camera. And it says, run with the wolves. How about turn them into shish kebabs and get that protein shake going early? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, my B.
I got one here that says, if you're not sh**ing, it's not working.
I got one here. It's a bunch of steaks on top of cereal. And it says, you should be feeling heavy after breakfast. Start every day heavy.
I got one here too. Ever notice how all the people telling you to brush your teeth are also the people selling the toothbrushes?
Wake up, sheeple. I've got one. It's an eagle, but it's sort of got hands photoshopped onto the tips of its wings, and then each hand is holding like a silencer suppressed Uzi. And all it says is,
yeah, I've actually got a similar one. And this one's got like a mean dog like foaming at the mouth, big teeth and a chain around his neck. It's chained up like a junkyard dog. And it just says,
I'm sorry, did I forget to say excuse me?
I've got one here. It's a leprechaun. He's got big muscles and he's holding a chain that he's whipping around his head. And he says, your lucky day.
I got one here. It's the big dog's dog, him with Frog and Toad, and he's just wailing on him.
Oh, I like the one where Frog and Toad have girlfriends.
And it says, mo money, mo problems.
And they're flipping us the bee.
Yeah, I got one here. It's Stuart the baby from Family Guy. And he's got one of his classic droll looks. And it says, I guess I didn't realize we were having a party where we're being a
amazing. Because it's your baby.
I know. I didn't even think about that part of it.
That's a baby.
Well, he doesn't talk like a baby, not on the show.
He talks like a human being.
Brian talks too.
I've got one here. This one, I don't show a lot of people, but it's a Tesla and then Elon's on it. He's butt naked. He's got his legs spread really wide and they've photoshopped into the tender area a wolf's head, which is shouting with a speech bubble in sort of jagged letters. Come at me, you little
I thought that one was more of a private one.
I'm just a bit hyped up from giving that gossip earlier.
This is also the effect of inspirational sayings, folks. This is how we get in the morning once we've done our inspirational grounding.
Yes, yes, yes.
I got one last one, and this is the one I start every day with.
Please.
This one has so much text. It's like you have to zoom in on your phone to read it. And there's like a shadowed man, like a man with a dark shadow over his face.
He looks like
if Stefan were in the emo band, basically, but more ripped. And it says,
got chills.
And it says, I see you see me. You cross the street. Mm. You think there he goes, just some dad. I hear you whispering. I see that smile on your face. And yet I'm the one with the smile, the inner smile, the smile that says that when this S hits the fan, you're going to come begging me. You're going to turn to me and say, I can't believe that all that time I was making fun of you, you were learning, growing, building mass, honing your skills. And was it at the expense of your friends? Yeah. Was it at the expense of your relationships? Maybe so.
Yeah.
But when this S goes down, there's going to be one man at the front of the column.
Helping everyone with their printer firmware.
Yeah. And at the bottom is Garfield, but he's got a bong.
Oh, daddy.
So, Ted, are you ready to get down to the top?
Let's get to the top.
Marvin did cry, though, when we were doing role-playing. I do want to come back to that really quick.
Yes, I think now's a good time to mention that Marvin was not a good substitute for Dobby. We tried to put the Jar Jar Binks head on him.
You ever tried to take your cat to the vet?
Yeah, there was a lot of clawing, and he does have sharp nails, but we cut them down.
Well, and I think he was initially upset because you were going to glue it to his head. And then he didn't like the straps you ended up using because they were scratchy on his head.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're just joining us at episode 151,
I'm sorry. Listener, if you're listening to this and you haven't 100%ed Tep Talk once or
no,
twice.
No, I know, Ted.
Get out. And if I have to explain to you what happened in last episode.
I know, Ted. Hey. Go back. Can I? Okay, so this is, I'm going to throw you a gentler inspiration. People can give you money. They can give you success. They can even give you attention, but they cannot give you peace.
I cannot give you peace. Thank you, my attention. Yeah, give me another one.
Picture of a sunset on the beach, and then over top of it, there's loopy cursive font that just says, joy.
Joy, huh?
We are the sons of the fathers that they couldn't burn.
One more. I think I'm done.
Okay, when the flower stretches up to the sun, it simply accepts the rays. It doesn't say why. It doesn't say how much or when. It simply says thank you. Thank you.
Well, that's quite nice. There's a little flower looking at the sun. I'm a flower when I look at the sun.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm feeling a little better. I'm sorry to whoever listened who just felt attacked.
And I want to be clear about something here, Ted. You are right to be enraged because I have no respect for anyone who hasn't listened to all of Tep Talk 2 to 10 times. However, you know the dead S scrolls?
Sure.
All I'm thinking about when I try to preface this kind of stuff is if there's a future world where whether there's a Terminatrix type situation of our suns destroying the world or whether simply the planet just burns up, let's imagine a world where 10, 20,000 years from now, Robo Elon sends a delegation back from Mars to find any valuable culture on Earth. They only find this episode. I want them to be able to have some context.
Okay. I'm going to imagine that this is a standalone episode after the Earth has been effed. In that case, cyborg dad listening to this in the future.
All I was going to explain is we're trying to convince our friend Darby to join his band that we took from him because we need a bass player. And in order to do so, Ted and I have been role-playing as his dead parents, and we've enlisted our friend Marvin to play him in our role-play so that we can better hone our characters. That's all I was trying to explain. Oh, and Ted made a sort of a fake head of our friend who's quite attractive on our ugly friend so that we could better imagine it.
Shout out. I've got my hand in a little Boromir circle. One does not simply haunt someone as their dead parents to convince them to let them into your band.
Well, and I just wanted Darby to join willingly. I didn't want him to feel coerced. So I just thought if he got a message from his dead dad saying that he needed to be in the band, then he would be a happy camper.
I know I'd be a happy camper to hear from my daddy.
Right.
And we're not talking about my dad.
No. Okay? Here's the nice thing I'll say about your dad, Ted, is wherever he is, he's not posting on social media. Like, he hasn't posted in weeks at this point. So,
Darby Sullivan.
All right, yeah. All I was going to say is the gossip was that Marvin cried.
But hey, rehearsal went well. I feel like we've got our roles going pretty well. There's some parts of the Mamie sort of Darby's dad relationship that I think we could go further on. If you're listening in the cybonic future and you're scouring through the radioactivity to try to find this one episode, then you won't know from our last episode that we did a bit of a role play sort of scene at the top of the episode.
And we've done a lot more scenes. We've done about 75 scenes since then.
Yes.
We've been finding some really interesting stuff. I love the one where Mr. Sullivan opens that letter that it's addressed to Mamie and reads it.
Yeah. And then he dresses in her clothes to try to better understand what she's thinking when she reads the letter. And then she comes in. She's aghast at first, but then she dresses in his clothes. And they kind of understand each other for a while. And then, of course, it all falls apart again. You know, it always has to sort of reset.
And I want to just say, it has really helped having Marvin there.
It has.
Because I should say, he cried as Darby.
Yeah, he did.
If anything, he's doing too good of a job.
Does he know what we're doing?
I don't know.
Or is he just sort of happy to be in a scene?
I think he's happy to be Darby.
Oh.
Marvin is kind of being Darby now full time.
Right.
And I knew this. This is on me a little bit, Ted. Way back when I was living with them before I became a Santa, I told you things got a little mixed up with Darby and Marvin. There just started to be a little bit of confusion about, you know, like when, and I just figured it's dads in close space with each other.
Yeah.
But that appears to have not cleared up. So it's been great for the scenes because he's really embodying Darby. I just think it's been hard the rest of the time when he keeps calling us mom and dad.
He's a needy boy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he might need his mom and dad to sit down and have a talk with him, you know, about expectations and roles and what we hope for him in his future.
Well, I think you put too much on him.
I think you coddle him too much.
I'm trying to provide a balance here because on the one hand, he's getting this constant messaging of be the man I wasn't. And so for me, I mean, yeah, I'm sure it looks like coddling because it's a counterweight. I'm trying to say, hey, for part of your GD life, you're allowed to just be a kid.
Life is so dog ass.
Here we go again. Okay.
It's like if you sell this fairy tale in their childhood, they're going to grow up with all these expectations and they're going to live their entire adult life feeling like I was lied to. I don't want to lie to my kid.
Oh, you don't want to lie to your kid. Well, that's news to me because where did you tell him you were last night? I think you said you had to stay late at the office.
Jessica had an event on.
Right.
And I know what you're thinking.
I'm not thinking.
What secretary gets a whole party thrown for her?
No, I'm not thinking anything.
Okay. Because I didn't do anything. So when I come home and Marvin/Darby is there crying, I think, well, at least he knows how dog-ass life is.
You think he doesn't see that in you every day? You're so concerned about him, learning to be a man and growing up. He already grew up, and that's what I'm worried about, Harold.
I'm worried that he's
grown up so fast. He's had to do so much. He's had to fill in for you so much around here. He's had to learn lessons that he shouldn't have to learn. He shouldn't have to learn at his age. He should be allowed to be a kid a little longer because, you know what? It is dog-ass, Harold. I agree, but why does he need to learn that now? Why can't he just have some time as a child?
You know what I'm hearing, Mamie?
Go on.
You're scared of not being a mom anymore.
Oh, f*** you.
Oh, f*** You, Harold. You think the one day when he grows up and he turns out just like me, that you're going to have another one of me on your hands, and that's what it's really about. You just don't want another one of me.
He is not like you, Harold. You flatter yourself by saying he's like you. You know why? Because he's a good kid.
I was a good kid. And this world f*** me over, Mamie. Just like it's going to f*** him.
Tell yourself whatever you need to tell yourself.
You. I'm out of here.
Sure, run away. That'll be great. And then when he comes out of his bedroom and says, "Where's Daddy?" I'm just going to say, "Oh, he left you, Darby. He left you again because he doesn't care about you or anyone else. He only cares about himself."
If I have one request before I walk out this f***ing door, Mamie Sullivan, it's that you tell our f***ing son that I left because I couldn't watch the train wreck of his life turn into mine. And that's love.
You think that walking away makes you somehow innocent?
No, it's
you set
innocent,
the train
maybe.
On a crash course and then you say, "Oh, I can't bear to see what I've done." Guess what? Yeah, he's going to have a hard time. He's not going to be perfect. But all I want is for him to have a chance. I just want him to have a chance, Harold. I want him to have a window of opportunity.
What about our chance, Mamie? What about our window of opportunity? You give him all this grace, you coddle him, you get meaning out of him. "Oh, I love being a mother." "Well, I hate being a father." What about us, baby? You never gave us a chance. You never gave us a chance.
You're jealous of him.
So what if I am?
You think I didn't love you?
Yeah, I think you didn't love me.
Then you never knew me, Harold. Then you really never knew me because I love you so GD much. I loved you so much that I gave up everything for you.
What?
Don't pretend like you didn't see the sacrifices I made. You know I never wanted to live here. I never wanted to move to this town. I don't know anyone here. I did it for you, Harold. And you were the one who wanted to have a kid. And you know what? Sometimes I hate him too. Because if it weren't for him, I'd be gone. I'd be gone, Harold. I'd be gone. Oh, Ted. Marvin's in the doorway.
Go back to bed.
Go back to bed, Marvin.
School in the morning.
As Darby, there's school in the morning, not as you, Marvin. You're a grown man. Ooh, we should definitely do the school scene.
The school scene would be really good. You need to be the, like, 1950s bully with a flip knife.
Hey, Darby, my dad says he saw your dad with that beautiful redhead again.
Yo, Darby, you coming to the sock hop?
I don't know what's so hard for Marvin about this. It's all quite simple. This week's show, everybody. Ted, 151, and I would say it's our best episode yet.
Easily the best. Oh, and before we go, just a quick recap. It is Father's Way, week 7.
Gosh, yes.
And this week's theme is deprivation and survival skills.
You know what we should do, Ted? We should take Marvin camping as Darby.
Camping scene.
Mr. and Mrs. Sullivan on a camping trip. Can you imagine?
In the middle of nowhere. No escape.
No escape. And that'll be great, too, because oftentimes Marvin, when he's Darby, just runs away crying to his room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure it's true to the character, but I would love to get a little more from him.
Yes, me too. Well, we'll work on him.
So, folks, yeah, if you're following along with The Father's Way, it is deprivation and survival skills. Deprivation is easy. Just hold your breath for a minute or so.
And survival skills, pretty easy, too. Dig a hole.
Make yourself a mixture of baking soda and water and drink it. And we'll be back next week with Father's Way week 8. Oh, my gosh, Ted, it's all happening. It's all happening.
Oh, cannot wait. Until we hear from you next week, rise and grind, you dirty little useless behind. Ride it into the future and make your day what it was always meant to be and shove it up your f***.
Yeah, remember, you are a precious, singular one of God's creations.
And that's why it's time to run with the dogs.
See you next week, everybody.
Bye.
Ted, something's been on my mind this entire recording session from the very beginning, because you mentioned Legally B. All I can think about is Legally D, Legally Dad. Like, no one takes him seriously because he's a dad.
And he'll be like, joke's on you. I started my own law school for just dads. It would turn into, like, Police Academy.
I think it would turn into Police Academy, but with, like, an element of Goodwill H.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think there's one dad who's working as a janitor. Then there's an equation on a chalkboard that says, like, wife plus boyfriend equals ? And he goes in and writes divorce. And then the teacher finds him and it's just like, "You know, you could be quite the dad." And he's like, "Ah, geez, I'm just some kid from Boston."
Yeah.
And there's a scene in the bar where someone's trying to talk to him about Steely Dan, and the dad is just like, let me guess, you want to talk to me about how they told the bass player not to slap, and so he turned his chair around and just sort of slapped quietly, and they brought in 17 different guitarists for the solo. You're not going to even talk to me about the fact. Chosen Era.